with me this evening to Ephesians chapter 5. I was turning there going, I forgot to tell you, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. I've entitled this, Redeeming the Time. No matter what your thoughts are on the social, political, and health matters of the day, all of us have the same amount of time. But how we use that time is of utmost importance. Here in Ephesians chapter 5, we'll be dealing with that topic this evening. Verse 15 of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Let's go, Lord, and ask for His blessing upon this time as we look at this topic dealing with time this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I need Your help. Lord, we all do. Lord, we need encouragement, we need strength, we need guidance, we need direction and wisdom. Father, we live in a time that is very uncertain. But Lord, no matter how uncertain time is, Lord, You're outside of it, and You're eternal, and You're consistent and constant. And Father, tonight as I preach Your word, I need Your help. Father, I pray I would be true to Your word, and every word and every thought that I say would be to Your glory and Your honor. Father, I pray that in our hearts and our minds, we'd recommit, Lord, or continue to put You first. And Lord, help us to be what we ought to be. Lord, for the time is short and You're coming back soon. We don't know when, but it's soon. And Father, I pray that we'll do all we can. We'll toil on, as we just sang in that last hymn, and God, to put You first. Lord Jesus, I love You with all of my heart, and I thank You for Your grace. Thank You for salvation. Thank You for a free salvation that we were able to sing about, and we can proclaim. It is a great gift. And Lord, I pray we never gets old to talk about the greatest gift You've ever given to us, Jesus Christ. Thank You. And may tonight, as we look at Your word, be challenged and move forward spiritually for You. And so, Lord, I commit it into Your hands, trusting You to do what only You can. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. There are a lot of things that really can consume our time. But how important are the things of God? What is it that will dominate our thinking? We're living in a time of humanism. There always has been an element of humanity doing their own thing. But humanism, just a philosophy of thought, but an outlook or system of thought attaching prime importance to human rather than divine or spiritual supernatural matters. Humanists beliefs stress the potential value and goodness of human beings. They emphasize common human needs and seek solely rational ways of solving human problems. And we as Christians can get caught up into this very idea that you and I have the solutions, you and I have the truths that are necessary in and of ourselves. Another definition of humanism is a belief system based on the principle that people's spiritual and emotional needs can be satisfied without following a god or religion. The sad part is when a believer comes to the conclusion in their life that they can find true liberty and joy and peace in their life apart from a genuine relationship with God. They're saved, but they're not walking with Him. They don't have the joy of the Lord. And the fact is that a redeemed child of God can live divorced from knowing and doing the will of God for their life is a very sad thing. When a more perfect path is readily accessible to them if we'll just do what God wants us. And the stark reality is that when we acknowledge that many of us, and or at times of our lives, during parts of our lives, going throughout the week, we rarely, if ever, acknowledge God. We might shoot up a quick prayer over a meal, but yet, let alone on a daily basis, do we get really a time of intimacy with the Lord. Possible exceptions to that may be Sundays and for the very faithful on Wednesdays. You may ask the common Christian about their devotions, and I'd venture to say that many, they will tell you that maybe they don't have time. And yet, the time that they do have, they can spend in front of a television, a computer, computer games, a cell phone, a book, or outdoor things without ever thinking twice about missing a time with God. And this sort of living really is an affront to God. It's an insult. And none of these activities are inherently wrong. But when we give in to such activities on a repeated basis, we are saying that, God, my daily relationship with you doesn't really matter. And I have put something in the place of God, putting God aside. And we as believers need to see that Jesus is coming back soon. If you look at what's going on, and it's not just, I mean, I talked with one family member, they're like, they've been saying that for a long time, Jesus is coming back. But the fact of the matter is, yes, he's coming back a whole lot sooner than he was back then. Another thing that we can do with our time is we give in to our emotions, we give in to physical fatigue over doing what God wants us to do. And there are the things that God very clearly explains to us that we ought to be doing. And it's not for me to tell you, it's between you and the Lord and the Word of God. This is your witness. Would you turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 8? We will, 1 Chronicles chapter 28, excuse me. I want to show you a passage of Scripture that really was, as David is giving an exhortation to Solomon, David's about ready to pass off the scene, and he's handing the throne over to Solomon. As he's doing such, he's giving some remarkable statements of wisdom to Solomon. I've been studying this in my daily devotions, and I'm actually quite interested in this. And just a quick aside, as I've been doing my devotions, I found that every aspect of the temple, I mean, David, even God spoke to him in a vision and gave him how much gold was beyond the, you know, the lampstand and everything else. I mean, he weighed it all out. I mean, Solomon had all the blueprints for every part of the temple. It was amazing. David had such a heart to build God's house, and yet God said, no, you can't. But as David is here handing the throne over to Solomon, 1 Chronicles 28, verse 8, I want you to notice with me several things that God very specifically gives to King Solomon, making it a priority, what he really gives an emphasis on. Verse 8 of 1 Chronicles chapter 28, he says, "Thou now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. And thou, Solomon, my son," notice with me what he says next, "know thou the God of thy father." Solomon, I want you to know God. "And serve him with a perfect heart." And how is he to do that? "And with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." Look at the devastation that comes when a king of Israel would not seek the Lord. He'll cast thee off forever. When obedience to God was not kept. There is to be a service for the Lord with a perfect heart and a willing mind. Our heart in these trying days is to do all I can for the Savior, all that He calls me to do. If I'm doing all that God has called me to do and all He's called you to do, there's nothing more that you can do. Do you ask God or study in His Word about what is appropriate to watch, listen to, or engage in? In James chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, look with me here, James chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. James chapter 4, verse 14. Really talking about the brevity of life. In verse 14 of James 4, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boasting, all such rejoicing is evil." Life goes by very quickly. And as even my wife and I, she was recently saying, it's hard to believe we're coming on 11 years of marriage this year, coming up in the end of May. And you might be thinking, wow, 11 years, that's a long time ago, you know, a lot longer. Whatever the case, time goes by quickly. And we as believers have been called to redeem the time, to buy back, to use to the fullest. And my principle this evening is let God dictate your day-to-day life, not ourselves. Now, obviously, there's a part of our day-to-day life that is dictated. When you go to work, when you get off work, I mean, that's dictated. But this idea of redeeming the time, number one, demands seeking His will. In order to be redeeming our time, I need to be doing the will of God. Very simple concept. And over again, throughout the Scriptures, and even the Apostle Paul and other writers, penmen, made sure that they were conducting their lives in accordance with the will of God. Even in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 3, and this will we do if God permit. And to put off the old ways, the fundamental doctrines of life, this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm going to do with my life. And I remember graduating from high school and I had to go through those career classes and I had to map out what job I was going to do and everything else. When I was in the military, I had to map out what I was going to do and where I wanted to go and all of that. Can I tell you I did get to go into the department in the military where I wanted, but I didn't get to go to the place I wanted. I chose it, but it was not very high on where I wanted to go. But God brought me to where I needed to be. And this will we do in redeeming the time, understanding that God has a will and a perfect plan for our lives, if we are willing. In Romans 15:32, Paul desired to come to the Roman believers, and he says, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God and may with you be refreshed. He says, I want to come to you if God allows. You could also say in 1 Corinthians 4:19, he says, but I will come to you shortly if the Lord will. And he says that same thing in 1 Corinthians 16:7 to the Corinthian believers, if the Lord permit. Paul doesn't give certainty to his plans, leaving room that the Lord could redirect. We can say, I will be there unless the Lord comes back. Praise the Lord, if the Lord comes back, I don't need to worry about this anymore. But there are some who are so led by God that they will not plan anything for fear of going outside of God's will. So we can go to one extreme. I'm good. This is what I'm doing. This is how I'm orchestrating my day. I can order my day and say, Lord, if you want to change it, change it. There's another extreme. I'm not going to order my day because I need to just be wherever God wants me to do. And then I get nothing done. So there's both. I can order my day and give the flexibility that God can change my timing. And so there's a spiritual discernment. In Psalm chapter 10, verse 4, I want you to look with me here if you have your Bible. Psalm 10, verse 4. Look with me what God calls wickedness. It's a pretty convicting truth here from His Word. In Psalm 10, verse 4. Look with me what He says. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. So in my pride, God calls wickedness. He says, God is not in my thoughts. God is to orchestrate my life. And that is on a day-to-day basis, moment by moment. Now at your job, you have jobs you have to do, tasks you have to do. That's God's will. And Paul would continually seek the will of God concerning his time and how he planned his life. And very, very even in Acts chapter 18, verse 21, he says, but I will return again unto you if God will. And then he also makes in Romans chapter 1, verse 10, very similar sentiments. But the fact remains that if we want to have a prosperous spiritual life, it comes through living by the word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Deuteronomy 8:3. This is the preeminence that God places upon His very word. In the Old Testament, it wasn't Jesus speaking. Jesus is God. But it wasn't Jesus in human form. This is before that. Look with me at verse 3 of Deuteronomy 8. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Jesus would say that very same thing to Satan there in the wilderness temptation. The Word of God is more important than my physical food. Think about that. This is the preeminence that God places upon His Word. It is absolutely essential to our lives. And I know I say it over and over again, and I had one individual saying, I can always think, pastor's telling me, you know, about the Bible. Ah, I have this one person tell me that, and it's kind of funny. But nevertheless, the truth remains, God's Word is so, so important. I need truth. I need wisdom. I need guidance. I need comfort. I need encouragement. God's Word is even more important than the manna and the food that I eat. What place and preeminence does the Word of God have in your life? This book is absolutely transformative. It'll change you. Look with me in Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, in this aspect of redeeming the time. Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, another example talking about redeeming the time, but nevertheless, with that, in redeeming the time, one of the aspects that we need to do is seek wisdom. How do I use my time? How am I to orchestrate my day? How am I to use my talents? Then you realize that when you're doing right and before the Lord and you're doing what God wants you to do, there is no greater joy. There is a great joy in your heart when you know you're doing exactly what God wants you to do. And you might be thinking, have you ever had those times you wake up and maybe you have some extra time in that day or whatever, and you're like, I don't really want to do that thing at the church today, whatever. I'm not going to really do that. But you're like, okay, Lord, I'll go. And then you go, and you're like, whoa, that's exciting. I didn't realize. You know, God just does something in our heart. Because I'm putting God first. Now, I'm not saying that's the only thing. But there is an element to our time. Look with me at verse 5. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. I need wisdom. I need wisdom on how to live life, how to respond when obstacles, confrontations, dialogue, fellowship, socializing. I need God's wisdom. And as I go through every day, I need God to help me with my time. And there back in Ephesians chapter 5, 15 through 17, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. I need to know what God's will is. And there's a, here, as we understand, there's a see in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. See, that he said, see then that you walk. And that very word see is an imperative with a tremendous amount of force. You need to continually do this. If I was to tell you, you continually need to breathe, you say, well, that's easy. I always do that. But if I was to continually tell you, you need to brush your teeth every day, that takes an action on your behalf. The very thing here in C, then that you walk, he's saying you need to look at your life and have a continual oversight of what you're doing. And then he says circumspectly, and that word circumspectly is to conform to a standard or a norm. So your standard with which you are conforming your life is based upon what? What standard is there? What perfect standard? The Word of God. Another one would suggest and give definition to this word circumspectly, to live carefully, deviating in no respect from the law of duty. So we need wisdom in regards to even how to speak. In Colossians 4, 6, let your speech be always grace. Redeem the time. But I need wisdom in my time, because you realize that if I speak in a mannerism or in a manner or a fashion or a countenance in my speech, and I create more problems for myself, then what am I doing? I am taking up more time than is necessary on things that I shouldn't be dealing with. It deals with our speech. And so if God gives me, I can redeem the time if I walk in wisdom and I allow God to guide my lips. We need to walk in wisdom. In James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Another truth is that our testimony in our redemption of our time displays whether I'm walking with God in wisdom or not. If you were to look at James chapter 3, verses 13 through 17, I won't read all of that, particularly verse 17, but the wisdom that from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy being treated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. The world is watching us in our testimony. And so when it says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time is Colossians chapter 4. I need not waste my time with those who just want to debate. There are people, they're like, hey, I got this question for you. I had a person there on a Facebook ad I was doing for the RU ministry, and this person said, I really need a Bible. I said, are you in Thompson? They said, no. They said, are you in Manitoba? They said, no. They said, I'm in South Africa. And I said, well, here you go. Here's a whole bunch of pastors in Africa that are, you know, that you can reach out to. Oh, but I need your help. I said, all right, I'm done. They weren't interested in just a Bible. They wanted more. But the fact is, and there's others that just want to argue about doctrinal things, and they just want to argue. It's not worth our time. It is possible to debate a person to a fault, even though you may desire to help them, but you may be wasting your time. That very word, redeeming, there is making the most of the opportunity that you've been given, is to buy up time. We could avoid many traps in our lives if we were to buy up our spare time. When the temptations, for instance, if an individual is on their computer and they're just kind of clicking around the computer or on their phone, just browsing, it's very easy for inappropriate things to show up. I mean, the ads out there are just horrible if you have ad blockers or other things out there, but they do show up. We need to convert our spare time rather than just surfing the net. They don't do that much anymore. It's surfing your phone or whatever you're doing. But the fact remains, time when we study the Bible, time when we turn our thoughts towards God in prayer, time for fellowship with others, time to pick up a good book, to go for a walk, do some gardening, visiting someone in the hospital, just fellowship. Using our time in a way and in a mannerism that God would be pleased with. Look with me at going back to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. I mean, God kind of, he tells us to redeem the time, but then the wonderful thing is, he actually gives us some ideas of how to use our time, right? He says, verse 17 of Ephesians chapter 5, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. God tells us, here's some things you can do. Our time is our most important and most valuable asset. You never get it back. Never get back time lost with friends or family. You never get back time that you spent with God or you didn't spend with God. We need to deal, as I've been dealing with in Sunday school, how we deal with our finances. An even more important commodity is our time and how I spend it. And to avoid evil, as it said, redeeming the time because the days are evil. There in Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. It pertains, that word evil there actually pertains to morally or socially worthless. The very word actually for evil is the same word with which we derive our word pornographic from. Redeeming the time because the days are wicked, immoral, pornographic is what he's saying. And idleness will cause a decay both physically and spiritually. Let me give you an illustration of that. For many years in Monterey, a California coast town was a pelican's paradise. As the fishermen cleaned their fish, they flung the offal to the pelicans, the innards of the fish. The birds grew fat, lazy, and contented. Eventually, however, the offal was utilized and there were no longer snacks for the pelicans. When the change came, the pelicans made no effort to fish for themselves. They waded around, grew gaunt and thin. Many starved to death. They had forgotten how to fish for themselves. The problem was solved by importing new pelicans from the south, birds accustomed to foraging for themselves. They were placed among their starving cousins, and the newcomers immediately started catching fish. Before long, the hungry pelicans followed suit, and the famine was ended. He's got some workers in there, and they got forward, and they went moved. In Proverbs 19:15, slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. Laziness will lead us to apathy, I don't care, and ultimately to hunger. And in our spirit, if I'm struggling and there are things going on in my life, you could be doing a million things, the most busy person ever, but you've forgot to neglect the time with God. And you're busy about a lot of things. Doesn't mean you're lazy, but you're lazy in a spiritual aspect. And that was the very thing in my own life when I was in the military and we were doing some testing against another base at the time. I was working 18 hours a day and I did that 3 weeks straight, 7 days a week. Oh, I was tired. And I gave up reading my Bible and I gave up going to church. I didn't have time. I mean, I was just trying to get some sleep. And I realized this spiritual decline that happened when I did that period of time. It was only 3 weeks, but I felt a tremendous decline spiritually in a 3 weeks when I neglected to get to the Word of God. Your physical dwellings will go into disrepair, but you will also go into disrepair spiritually. In Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 18. It says, by much slothfulness, the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands, the house droppeth through. If we're not growing, we're not learning in our spiritual life, then we're decaying. Look with me at Ezekiel 16:49. I want to show you what was the principal sin of those there in Sodom and Gomorrah. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49. Ezekiel 16:49, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. What was the principal thing there? They did not redeem the time. There was a bunch of idleness. And as we had the lockdowns, the time to stay home, there's been guilty times of wasting it on frivolous things. We do need time to just rest, but we need to allow God to dictate how we rest. Look at another thing. Idleness also delights in meddling in other people's lives. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13. Notice with me what happens when there is also idleness, 1 Timothy 5:13. We'll look at verse 11. I'll give you the context of what is transpiring here in this passage of Scripture with whom the Apostle Paul, in the inspiration of God, is writing to Timothy about what's going on. He's telling him if there's a young widow, she needs to remarry. And he goes, verse 11, but the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation, because they have cast off their first faith, and withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house. And not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. They become gossipers. And dealing with a young woman who's widowed, or aptly applies to idle married people, who cast their faith off and study and begin to just meddle in the business of others. You know what happens in our idleness? We begin to do things we ought not to. We wish we hadn't done. And so we need to keep ourselves busy in doing what God wants us to do. Now, I'm not saying what that is, But you in your spirit and before God need to say, God, how do I use my time? In the firehouses of Norman Rockwell's paintings, firemen pass the hours between alarms playing checkers and showing off the polished brass and bright red trucks to wide-eyed young visitors. But for the volunteer firemen of Genoa, Texas, in suburban Houston, that was not enough. In the past 3 years, 8 bored Genoa firemen have set about 40 fires in abandoned buildings and grass fields. As soon as the blazes were going, the arsonists would dash back to the firehouse and rush off to put out their own fires. The Genoa firemen were quite busy until they made the mistake of setting fire to a barn owned by the brother of a Houston Fire Department official. An investigation of the blaze led to the Genoa firehouse, and the overeager firefighters were exposed. Explained one of the firemen charged with arson, we'd hang around the station on the night shift without a thing to do. We just wanted to get the red light flashing and the bells clanging, end quotes. Idle time. We find that also around here. Idle time causes the devil's workshop. But in denying the Lord's will and his wisdom for our lives, we make our own concept of God, especially with idle time. Would you look with me at Judges chapter 17, verses 1 through 6. Now, the book of Judges really is a book of people that did their own thing, and it was like they did well, they cried out, when things go bad, God help us! And after a period of time of crying out to God, God sent them a judge, he delivered them, woohoo, we're wealthy, we're back to comfort, we're good, boom, what happened? They got comfortable, God sends an invader to get their minds back on God, and roller coaster that repeats ad nauseum. Alright? Judges chapter 17, verse 1. And there was a man of Mount Ephraim whose name was Micah, and he said unto his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about which thou cursedst, and spakest of also in mine ears, behold, the silver is with me, I took it. And his mother said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my son. And when she had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son, to make a graven image and a molten image. Now therefore I will restore it unto thee. Yet he restored the money unto his mother, and his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the founder, who made thereof a graven image and a molten image, and they were in the house of Micah. And the man Micah had a house of gods, and made an ephod and teraphim, and consecrated one of his sons, who became his priest. In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. So she took what she dedicated to God, and she used it and fashioned it into an idol. And in our idleness, I can take things that have been dedicated to the Lord, I can take my time, I can take my talents, and I can begin to use them for myself in a way that dishonors God. Our phone is a useful tool. But if I'm looking at things that I am not to, or spending the time on it more than I should, then I'm taking this useful tool and this commodity of time, and I'm really ultimately making it a god. This woman would actually take 18% of her promised goods to be used for selfish carnal means. Her son Micah had to make things that were replicas of that which was sacred, the seraphim, the other things that were mentioned in there, but he was making replicas of things that were to be honored to the Lord and using them for themselves, for their own gods. He also found that there was no clear direction in that home. One of the things that we need to do is stop persisting in doing that which is not of God. Look with me at Romans chapter 13, verse 11. And so here, Micah and his mom, I mean, they doing their own thing. They didn't have direction. They didn't have clear guidance on where to go forward. Why do we have Tuesday night Bible study? Because an opportunity to say, hey, let's look in the Word of God. It's another time to just, rather than using idle time, let's put some time into studying God's Word and learning it and having fun and exciting times. I mean, it's a great time on Tuesday night. Now, you may be busy, and I understand that, but in our own lives, we ought to have a time where I'm studying the Word of God and saying, God, show me more. And I understand our lives are busy. But in Romans chapter 13, verse 11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on what? The armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. If you know you're going to have a difficulty, and you say, hey, I know I'm going to have some dead time, and I know during the dead time I'm doing things that I shouldn't be doing, Lord, please help me to know what to do. That's all it is, just asking God, how do I use with what you've given to me? Let me give you an illustration here. The board of absentees will meet each time the services of the church meet. At this meeting, we'll discuss ways of keeping attendance as low as possible. We will see that there is no enthusiasm for increased attendance. This is called the board of absentees. The board of absentees will discuss ways of decreasing the offerings and will seek ways to weaken the preaching of the word. The board of absentees will discuss ways of decreasing any revival efforts at the church. Your board of absentees is composed of the following members: Mr. Real Unconcern, Mr. Sleep Late, Mr. You Are Lazy, Mr. Don't Come at All, Mr. and Mrs. Don't Like the Preacher, Mrs. At Ease, Mr. and Mrs. Take It Easy, Mr. Doolittle, and Mrs. Every Other Sunday. It is our deepest desire to close the door of this church as quickly as possible. If you ever want an excuse for being absent, please contact us immediately. We have all the answers adapted from Board of Absentees, end quotes. And there's a lot of things that we can say, you know what, I just can't do that. But before God, I'm going to answer to Him. It's not answering to me. You're not answering to anyone else. You're going to answer to God for your time. When we have the abundance of time and we use it wisely on the things of the Lord's choosing, then we open up further ways to further the gospel, further the things of God. But when I use my time unwisely, what am I doing? I am opening up doors for Satan to get inroads into my life. When I sit there idly and I'm doing things, and I should be doing something else, I'm opening a door to be a vessel of Satan to hinder the Lord's work. And one of the ways with which we hinder it, as I had said, with respect to those widows and the married that were idle, is in our speech. It actually speaks about that in Matthew chapter 12, verse 35 and 36. Our speech: a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. God is watching every word that we speak, whether it tears someone down, irrespective of who they are, whether they deserve it or not, God's watching. The only exception of speaking if you were ill against someone is if you're warning of false doctrine or a way that is harmful for others. If you're speaking against their teaching, you're not against them, you're against what they're teaching. Not spreading rumors. We ought to be careful. And so the thing is, every idle word, idle, excess time, when I could be doing something else, I'm doing it incorrectly and I'm wasting it. So the thing that God wants us to do, as we get back to the theme of Colossians 4, 5, and 6, and Ephesians chapter 5, is to persist in good works. And one of the ways that we persist in good works is to live simply. Look with me at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. And that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are out, and that ye may have lack of nothing. Live simply. There is a prerequisite to pastors in 1 Timothy chapter 3 about pastors having a good report of those in their community. It should not only just be to pastors, but also to believers. But nevertheless, there is that prerequisite to pastors having a good reputation in the community. The other thing is how I use my time is also a part of our evangelism. The most effective evangelism is if you know someone. To go up to a stranger and give them a tract or talk to them about the Lord will not have the same impact as if you know that individual and have an opportunity to talk to them about the things of God, because they know that you have a care for them and you're not doing it out of obligation. And sometimes it can, but we're doing it Because we want to do what's right. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husband, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. So it's saying if a wife lives godly, she gives a great testimony to a husband that may not be saved. This impacts, so for instance, how you use your time and your faithfulness to church, your faithfulness to your spouse, your faithfulness to work, these are examples that speak to others and they have an impact. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there's no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. If I'm going to do it with my might, do it with all that God's given to me. The other thing is, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to them who are of the household of faith. If there's a need within the church, it ought to be trying to help one another. That's what it's saying here. Using our time. And there's a strong command also in 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God. I want to look at the last passage of Scripture before I get to the conclusion. Look with me at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. This really is how to use our time. It gives a great explanation on that. Verse 14 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Give you a second to get there. It says, now we exhort you, brethren. Here's the first thing to say. Warn them that are unruly. Number two, comfort the feeble-minded. Number three, support the weak. Be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. The next one, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Don't use your time in a way that's going to grieve the Spirit of God. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. You know what? I got to test things by the word of God. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you who also will do it. Brethren, what does he say? Pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. We don't quite do that in this culture, but maybe a handshake or something else. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. There's some things to do. Right there, particularly verse 14. So you think about, how do I use my time? Lord, I need some help. Well, I got too much time. Most of the time we don't say we have too much time. We say we have too little time. But there is more time that we could do to the things of God, and I just need to ask God to orchestrate my day. As I bring this to conclusion, the truth is an idle brain is a devil's shop, and William Blake said, expect poison from the standing water. When I am idle, I know for myself, when I'm idle, it is a time where my mind begins to wander, and it creates more mental agitation. It does. When I'm idle and I'm doing things, maybe I'm just trying to waste time, or if I'm on my phone or doing other things, my mind begins to wander and to go to areas of mental agitation that it shouldn't be. And God reels me back in and says, hey, let's get this straightened out. So the question really this evening is, what are you doing with the very limited amount of time that God has given you on earth? Earthly riches will not last into eternity. So we need to consider what we're doing to see if it's okay with the Lord. That very truth, as I gave several weeks ago, there in Luke chapter 12, about the man who builds bigger barns and new houses, and all this I will do, eat, drink, and be merry, he says, with no considerations. I mean, he's got his great land, he's building new barns and new house, he's going to do it all with no consideration if that's God's will. And God would even say, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. I would hate to be, when I get to the stand before the judgment seat of Christ. If you're a Christian, you will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We live in a time of an age of technology which helps us to multitask. But as I stand before there, before that throne, I'm going to have to answer for how I've used every second of every day. Technology helps us, but technology can also be a great distraction. The problem is not more time. The problem is failing to glean from God how to use the time we have been given. In the matter of time, there is absolutely no bias. Time has no bias towards any person. Every person who's ever lived, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, 366 on a leap year, is taken into account with a slight deviation. So I want to challenge you this evening is to please begin asking God to orchestrate our days. How am I using my time? What am I doing with my time? Redeeming the time because the days are evil. You know what? There's more we could do for the Lord. There's more I could do. You could do. I don't know what God would have you to do. I know what God's working on me about. And even the Tuesday night, a Friday night, Lord, there's more that can be done. Lord, would we honor you in all that we say and do? Our responsibility, number one, is to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ, to get out the gospel. There's many ways we can do that. Bring a cake over to a neighbor, reach out to a neighbor, reach out to a coworker, reach out to people you meet in the stores and the highways and byways. There's a lot of ways that we can reach out. There's a lot of ways that I can just get into the Word of God. And when I begin to get depressed and discouraged, I have to get in the Word of God and say, God, I need something. And you know what? If you ask Him for it, He'll give it to you. If this evening you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not certain of your eternal destiny, your time, you don't know how long you have to live. And I would trust that tonight you can get all the wealth of this world. It's not going to matter. You need to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Your eternal destiny, if you do not know Christ, if you're not certain, if you died right now, you said, I'm trusting in a baptism, I'm trusting in my good works, I think I'm getting there. You're trusting in your parents' faith. You're trusting in, you were baptized as an infant. You're trusting in anything other than exclusively Jesus Christ, my friend. You have a foundation for eternity that will not stand. And so tonight, would you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? We will have a time of invitation. If I can have Ms. Pat come forward for the time of invitation. But as we begin, if you think about this, what are we doing with our time? I don't know. I don't know how you're using your time. I do know how I'm using it, and God keeps saying, I need more of it. I want to do more with your time. Sometimes it's just spending with your family, getting to know them and investing into the family. Whatever the case, may we be Christians who redeem the time because the days.